Hey, can you hear me? Hello, hello. It says you're, oh, I have to ask you to unmute. Let's see. There we go. How's it going?
Hi, I can't hear you.
Hey, there we go.
Let me
No,
fix my end.
I can hear you. Can you hear me? Hello, hello. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Hello, hello. Testing, testing.
It.
Can you
Hi.
hear me?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, how's it going?
Good, how are you doing?
Oh, fantastic. Good to see you again.
Good to see you too.
Yeah. How was your past week?
Crazy as usual, but good. How about you?
Yeah, we just I've been offline for the whole past week. We went to Costa Rica and took a little family vacation at a this beautiful plant-based yoga retreat center in the jungle. So we just got back at like midnight last night.
Oh
Oh,
my gosh, that must have been amazing.
it was incredible. It was incredible. Yeah, definitely something I needed to do. So it was nice. Yeah,
You have kids?
have two kids. Yeah,
How old are they?
6 and 11.
Oh my God, it must have been so much fun.
Yeah, it was a good time. Definitely a good time. But thanks for doing this. We got a handful of our VIP members that'll come on and participate. Some of them might ask questions and things like that. I'm gonna basically moderate the whole thing. I'll intro you. There'll be question and answer. We got some questions that have come in on the website. We've got this is basically the kind of Q&A from the modules from the supplement masterclass that I interviewed you for. So people have all different kinds of questions on supplements, and then we send this out. We send the replay out to thousands of people. So, yeah, we'll have a good time, and you don't have to worry about anything. Don't worry about the chat and all that. I'll manage all that. We'll help some people.
Awesome. Are we going an hour or when is it ending?
Yeah, it's generally about an hour. I mean, if we an hour tops, you know,
Okay.
we might go less than that, just depending on. You know, we get through all the questions, we cover the topics, we could go maybe 45 minutes, but an hour tops if that works for you.
That's perfect. Yes.
Awesome. All right. Well, good. Other than that, I think we'll start letting people in and then we'll rock and roll.
Sounds good, Nathan. I'm
Cool.
ready.
Looking forward to it.
Me too.
Hello, everybody. We'll take just another few seconds here and let everybody connect to the audio. Hello, hello, all of you who are joining us. If you can hear me so far, if you connect to the audio, do me a favor and just in that chat box, chat in where you're joining in from if you're joining us live, so we know where you are calling in from. And those of you joining us live, you're going to have a chance to ask your questions to Juliana. And if you have, other questions, or you miss anything, you'll always have this replay inside your members area as well. And those of you joining us on the replay, hello, hello. So we're just gonna give another few seconds here for those of you connecting live to connect to the audio. We see Pat is in Naples, Florida. Hey, Pat, welcome. I'm actually in Jacksonville. I just got back from Costa Rica last night, pretty late. So didn't get back till like midnight, went to bed at like 1 o'clock. But happy to be here with all of you. Let us know if you can hear us now, where you're chat in the chat box, where you are joining in from. We'd love to hear from each of you, and we're going to get started here in just another second. All right, looks good. Let's go ahead and dive in. Hello, everybody. I am Nathan Crane, creator of the Supplements Explained Masterclass. And I want to thank all of you for joining me in this live Q&A with Juliana Hever. So far, you should have had a chance to watch some of the more recent modules in the masterclass with Juliana, like the module 6, which was one we did together, the Ultimate Supplement Detox. I did the first part of that module, and Juliana did the second. Also, module 7, the little known supplements that can help you lose weight, which was a much larger focus on diet and lifestyle and the principles about sustainable and healthy weight loss. If you have not watched those modules or the previous modules, make sure to go back into your members area and watch those. They're really supportive modules, really good information for helping you get the most, not only out of your supplements, but your diet and your life to maximize your health and your lifespan. In today's live Q&A, Juliana is here to answer the questions you have. Juliana has a Bachelor of Arts degree in theater from UCLA and a Master of Science degree in nutrition from Cal State Northridge. She bridges her three biggest passions for food, performance, and helping people. As a registered dietitian, Juliana has authored 7 books, including the brand new Choose You Now Diet. I love that. As well as the Health Span Solution and also the Plant-Based Nutrition Idiot's Guide and 2 peer-reviewed journal articles on plant-based nutrition for healthcare professionals. Her website is plantbaseddietitian.com, where you can learn more about her. She's got great recipes. You can learn about her. You can get her books there and connect with her there at plantbaseddietitian.com. Juliana, thank you so much for taking the time to be here. Thanks for doing this Q&A. Thank you for sharing all this great wisdom with everybody.
Thank you for having me, Nathan. I'm happy to be here.
So let's first please note, as usual, this is not medical advice. This is informational only. So always please consult with your physician if you do have medical questions. Secondly, if you're joining us live, you can submit your questions in the chat box below, or if you want to come on live, there should be icons, an icons link, icons tab that you can click where you can raise your hand, virtual raise your hand, and we'll call on you. You can actually come on video and ask your questions. So without further ado, I see Pat is saying hello from Naples, Florida. Hello, Pat, Diane. Fort Myers Beach, Florida. All right. Grace, hello from San Diego. We got people all over. Where, Juliana, where are you at right now?
I am in Los Angeles, so I'm close to San Diego.
Los Angeles. We got West Coast, East Coast. I am in Jacksonville, Florida right now as well. And we got both coasts covered, so that's wonderful. All right. So first question is on, let's just start with questions that came in on the website. And then those of you tuning in, if you have questions, feel free to chat them in. First question here was about, I have a concern with bone strength and muscle strength with only eating plant-based. What do I need to know about this?
Right. That's a good question. Bone health is so important. And especially as we age, you know, we lose muscle and we lose bone tissue as we go through the years and the decades. And so, you know, diet is important. It's important for everything. But number one most important thing, in fact, there was a new study that just came out this week with respect to bone health, and specifically it tested it on vegans, is exercise, resistance, exercise, strength training. That is so important because basically every time you're exercising and, you know, even just pounding the pavement, just walking or jogging or, you know, anything where you're actually getting some impact on your bones and your muscle, you get a tiny, these little microscopic breakdowns, and then your body is stimulated to regrow and get back stronger, thicker, hardier. So it's really, really important to incorporate resistance training into your life, a very regular, like 3 to 5 times a week, do something. Walking is good for your hip joints. And then like just weightlifting is for the upper body. You want to hit kind of everywhere around your body. And it's always good to do a lot of like cross training, right? So you're doing not only cardiovascular endurance, but muscular endurance and muscular strength, flexibility, balance, agility, all of those different things. So mix it up. That's really, really important. Keep your body guessing, because then it'll have to think and it'll have to, you know, rewire the neural pathways, and all sorts of magic happens with regular, consistent exercise. Number one, most important for bones specifically and muscles specifically. Dietarily speaking, this is always a concern as well, because of course diet is the number one cause of early death and disability. It's related to everything. The most powerful thing you could do is eat a healthy diet. And when you eat a plant-based diet, there's of course things to be noted. And with respect specifically to bone health, make sure that your serum vitamin D levels are normal. And this is kind of an interesting one, especially as we're here in California and in Florida, we got lots of sunshine, we're at a really good latitude. But I have clients here and all over the world, there just seems to be a very high prevalence of low vitamin D. And it's become something that's really talked about for, it's been the last, I don't know, 15 years, it's come to people's attention, but it's even come to attention with respect to COVID. And it's like vitamin D is a very, very important nutrient. And so because it's a fat soluble nutrient, you don't want to just blindly supplement. I recommend getting your blood tested. A lot of physicians are doing that just normal, you know, without even asking routinely now, but if not, just make sure you're getting your D checked every year. If it's a subpar, then supplement. You could try sun therapy where you go out into the sun midday and with your skin exposed. That's the problem, is that we cover up with all the sunscreen all the time. So a lot of us end up not getting the UVB rays to penetrate into our skin, which is what we need for it to be absorbed and to be activated. So sun therapy, you could try that. It doesn't always work. And you want to make sure you don't get pink. You don't want to end up with, you know, higher risk for skin cancer, because that's the thing too. That's part of the reason that people are having more vitamin D deficiency. So make sure your vitamin D serum levels are optimal. That's important. Also, if your serum vitamin D levels are low, you're not going to absorb calcium as well. And calcium, of course, as you've heard over the years, is very, very important for bone health. So make sure D is optimal. And if not, supplement, or try sun and maybe supplement, but keep testing it. And calcium sources from plants, make sure you're incorporating those. You know, it's, you have to be mindful of it. So things that are really high in calcium on a plant-based diet include, you know, almonds, tahini and sesame seeds, almond butter, calcium set tofu. If you're doing a plant milk, I use plant milks as an ingredient. I don't drink plant milks, but you could drink it too. But you know, the ones that are on the market, if you get the unsweetened kind and you get the commercial kind, there's most of them are fortified with, it has the same amount of vitamin D and calcium as does cow's milk. So just look for that. That's another source of calcium. Dried figs, one of my favorite ways to get calcium. And leafy greens and legumes. That's like the answer to everything. It's like, always eat your leafy greens and legumes every day. And that's why it's part of the six daily threes. So make sure you're prioritizing those foods. And B12, interestingly, plays a role in bone health. So it's a real risk for vegans across the board for everything, neurology, bone health, and a million other things. And interestingly, a lot of vegans think, well, I don't need to take B12 because it's such a natural diet. Well, we do. And there's a very high prevalence of deficiency of B12 because they're not taking it. So mind your B12. It's super, super important. And that one is a water-soluble nutrient. So you don't need to worry about having too much. You just rather err on the side of having, making sure you're getting it. But those are the biggest ones. Zinc is important too. I mean, everything plays, our bodies are so gorgeous that it plays this beautiful, intricate, synergistic, you know, symphony of all these things that it takes in and puts together. So those are the most notable ones that you should be aware of.
Love that you brought up exercise. I mean, it's so important, just as important, I think, as a healthy diet. I mean, there are many studies on that, right? I mean, even studies came out during COVID saying those who exercised had a significantly decreased risk for mortality from COVID. You see it with cancer, you see it with cardiovascular disease, you see it with bone health. Resistance training, we have to put the bones under pressure. So some weight-bearing exercises, multiple days a week. Doesn't have to be heavy, but it's got to be, you know, put your bones under some kind of load, bands, tension, you know, light dumbbells, things like that. Light resistance training, right? And I'm glad you brought up vitamin D. Also protein. She was concerned about muscle. You know, exercise is just, you know, that's where the resistance training is essential for muscle. But, you know, protein is also one of those things that people are very confused about. Right. And confused about animal protein versus plant protein. How much protein do you actually need as you age? People have been told, you know, avoid large amounts of protein because it's associated with higher risk of cardiovascular disease and cancer, which is true when you look at the animal protein studies. But when you look at the plant-based protein studies, everything I've seen, and I'd love for you to talk about this, is actually with more plant protein in your diet as you age, the less risk of disease you have and the less risk of muscle atrophy and osteoporosis and these kinds of things you experience. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack there. And protein is the most mystifying for so many people. People are on this persistent pursuit of protein. I always say it's like this constant battle of where do I mean, it's the number one question I get every single day, everywhere in the world, in my personal life, at the gym, with my clients, with audiences, everywhere, protein, 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 protein. And yes, it's important. We need to have some protein, of course, but it's not like this miracle nutrient. It's a macronutrient and it's found in all plants. All plants have all amino acids. Now we really need about 9 essential amino acids and we can get those absolutely from plants. And that's why I use that mnemonic, the 6 daily threes, because the foods that are highest in protein on in the plant-based kingdom are legumes. That's one of the 6 daily threes. And legumes are, of course, all the beans, peas, lentils, hummus should be a food group, and soy foods also count in that category, like tofu and tempeh. These things are really rich in all.
Hummus should be a food group. You must love hummus like I do.
Hummus should be a food group. I want to mix it to put that in the, yes. And it has become more and more so, because if you go to the store, there's like
shelves of hummus. 8 million kinds of hummus that is just so delicious. Yeah.
So delicious. So yeah, it's a great way to get those amino acids. But then also the another one of the 6 daily three categories are nuts and seeds, because there's other nutrients in nuts and seeds, including some of the amino acids that are unique in there. And it's good to have 1 to 2 ounces a day of nuts and seeds. The research is abundant on that. I don't think there's any disagreement. It's like 1 to 2 ounces a day will bring all sorts of cardiometabolic benefits, weight management benefits, all of it. So that's where we get our amino acids primarily. But remember, there are amino acids in leafy greens and fruit has a little bit, and but it's, they're everywhere. So what happens is on a plant-based diet, you don't have to worry about it. You just, all people need about 10% of calories. Now there's all sorts of numbers out there. And I think most people will kind of average out, or kind of there's like the average agreement is about 1 gram per kilogram, not 1 gram per pound. That's what a lot of people are doing. They're chucking down all that protein powders and shakes and bars and blah, blah, blah. But we really need about 1 gram per kilogram. So for an average woman or average man, it's like, I think it's like 45 to 55 a day. And it also averages out to about 10% of total calories, 10 to 15% of total calories. The only way to not get that is to eat highly processed foods, eat a lot of flours and sugars and oils where you're not getting any protein. And so that's there's only so much real estate we have on our plate. And so if you're swapping out the animal products and putting in the plant products, you're going to get your protein, you're going to get all those macro and micronutrients in a really good combination without thinking way too much about it. You don't have to calculate. I don't have my clients weigh, measure, calculate, or count. You just eat, balance, and focus on the 6 daily threes, and you'll get ample amounts of all of those things. Now, after the age of, I think it's 60 or 65, you know, they recommend more protein, because just because of aging, like the sarcopenia kicks in, that's the muscle loss, and again, the bone loss. And so how do you mitigate that risk? You know, you make sure you're getting some. But again, what happens in our older years, a lot of our people's appetites go down. So they're eating smaller quantities, and we're still thinking about it in a percentage of how many calories. So just be mindful, eat 1.5 cups of legumes a day about, and 1 to 2 ounces of nuts and seeds a day. Keep it whole as possible, and you will get ample, a healthy form of protein.
Yeah. I mean, easy way for people to do the math. Not everyone understands your calculations of kilograms. I, as you age, as you're 65 and older, as you said, an easy way, I think, to remember it, give or take, is about 0.5 gram of protein per pound of body weight, right? So if you weigh 100 pounds, roughly 50 grams of protein, give or take. Actually, you can have a little bit less than that and be fine. If you weigh 150 pounds, that'd be 75 grams of protein. So forth, 0.5 gram. If you're under 65, it can be closer to like 0.3 or 0.4, right? The general consensus there is about 0.8 grams per kilogram. A pound is 2.2 kilograms, right? So the math is roughly between 0.3 and 0.5 grams per 1 pound of body weight for all of our US people here. It's an easy thing. As you said, it's an easy thing if you're eating a really well-balanced diet. And paying attention. The reality is, though, what I have found when I advise people to track their protein for a week or two, who are on a plant-based diet, very often they're getting too few they're getting less protein than that, because they get into habits of like eating, getting full on nuts and seeds. And nuts and seeds are not a high protein food. They're a high fat food, right? And you can get really full on nuts and seeds and get a really low amount of protein from that versus if you're getting more full on things, like you said, like legumes, you know, soy, for example, good edamame, organic soy, lentils, even quinoa is a great source of carbohydrates, but a higher source of protein. And then you have a good balance, you know, broccoli and salad and things like that, even though you'll get way more full on that fiber initially, then you'll get protein out of it. I mean, even though protein, broccoli is one of the highest protein per calorie foods on the planet, but you can never eat enough broccoli to actually get a huge sufficient amount of protein. That's, you know, it's too much fiber. So when, I don't know with your clients, Juliana, but when I advise people and I say, hey, track your protein for 2 weeks, don't change anything and see how much you're getting. If you're getting that 0.3 to 0.5 grams per pound of body weight, let's say you're 100 pounds, you're getting, you know, 35 to 55 grams, then you're in the right place. But actually, I found a lot of people don't actually get that. And that may be what this question is about, is why am I still dealing with some of these issues? And that might be it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really see that. I don't calculate. I really don't. I don't have my clients calculate things because I've done that. I did that for years. And everyone, if you're aiming for those six daily threes and you're getting those foods, there's not a lot of room. There's not a lot of wiggle room. Like, you can't not get it if you're eating enough of those and you're eating enough calorie to maintain your weight, or if you're trying to lose, whatever. It depends on those situations. But I don't recommend protein powders unless I have clients that are really trying to gain weight and can't. So then I'll have them add, but I'd rather them add hemp seeds or, you know, just more food, and maybe blend it into a smoothie so you can get more in. That's a good way to gain weight in a healthy way. Yeah. But I really don't find people.
I agree. You shouldn't track every day, all day, everything for weeks and months and years. It's a too cumbersome. But if you're concerned about it, like this person calling in or writing in, you could track for a week or two and just see where you're at, right?
Information is good. Always good to have data. Yeah.
Groovy's writing in and saying, is the six daily threes covered in a module? I'm sorry, I'm behind. I haven't had a chance to listen since module two. I believe you cover that in depth in module 7 on the weight loss module. But do you want to take a few minutes and just go through those six daily threes really quick?
Sure. And I actually have a graphic, and I have it all laid out on plantbaseddietitian.com and everywhere. Like, I kind of talk about this on social media a lot because it's a mnemonic for how to prioritize food. Because I always tell people, what do you eat on a plant-based diet? I want you to eat a diet of vegetables, fruits, whole grains, legumes, mushrooms, nuts, seeds, herbs, and spices in infinite tasty combinations. But what does that look like on a day-to-day basis? So we had a pyramid for a while. We had a plate for a while. But then I kind of wanted to put it into this, like, a way to remember that here are six food groups that you should try to have three times a day. One of them is three times a week, but three servings ish a day. None of this has to be perfect. You know, a lot of people, I've got like 100-pound girl, is very different for her needs versus a 6'6", 250-pound athlete. So it's very different in terms of how much serving. So this is, again, a general guideline similar to what we were doing with the pyramid and the plate way back then, just to have kind of a guideline. So nothing has to be perfect. You don't have to have exactly this amount. But it's just a way to prioritize what you put on your plate. So one of them is leafy green and cruciferous vegetables, because they are so rich in phytonutrients. They're the most health promoting food on the planet. They're just a whole category that's like stuff like kale and bok choy and broccoli and cauliflower, and even the cauliflower is white, but it's got all the cruciferous and all the same properties, similar properties. And all the greens. And I prioritize low oxalate greens. So kale, lettuce, cabbage, those things are really, really good. And then the second category is all the other colored vegetables, because vegetables basically are the lowest calorie and the most calorically light and nutritionally dense foods. So other colors, the reds, the oranges, the yellows, and you're getting a whole slew of carotenoids and all these other wonderful health promoting nutrients in those foods as well. And they're very satisfying. You know, a good sweet potato is a real satiating thing. I do a lot of weight loss with my clients. That's mostly what I do. So I'm always kind of framing it in terms of weight loss, but generally speaking, that's the second category that's super important. Third category would be fruits. Fruits are also healthy. You know, you want to get the rainbow every day, and that's a great way to get vitamin C and all these other wonderful things that are quite unique in fruits. And then legumes, like I said before, and then nuts and seeds, 1 to 2 ounces a day. You want to mix it up because things like almonds are higher in calcium, and the hemp seed, chia seed, flax seed, and walnuts are higher in omega-3s, and Brazil nuts are high in selenium. So you kind of want to mix and match your nuts and seeds. just to get a wide array of things. But there's very unique things in there too, like L-arginine and all these other, like vitamin E, just a really good source of things that you can't find elsewhere in the diet. So in fact, if people have a nut allergy, which is super common, you want to go make sure you're getting some seeds if you can, but you need to be more mindful when you have a big allergy like that. And then the last category is mushrooms. It used to be physical activity, but I added in mushrooms because I used to lump them into the vegetable category. And I was corrected that it's just not, they're not vegetables. They are fungi and they are super extraordinarily helpful. In fact, I'm drinking some tea with it right now. Really good for the immune system and all that.
Me both. Yeah. It's a mushroom powder mix that I add in with the tea. It's amazing. Reishi and chaga and cordyceps and lion's mane and turkey tail. Anti-cancer, associated with longevity, reduced all-cause mortality, enhanced brain function, you know, prevention of neurological diseases. I mean, mushrooms are just amazing.
Yeah, they really are magical. So, and then I interviewed Paul Stamets a few years ago, and you know, he's like the mushroom. He's done, I don't know, hundreds of studies on mushrooms. And I just kind of go with what he said. And he said he recommended 3 different species a week. So, and it was like 100, it's on my website. It's like 100 and something grams a day. I don't calculate, but I try. I actually eat mushrooms almost every single day because I love them so much and drink them in my tea. And I take the capsules. I love them. So those are the 6 daily threes, just things to prioritize for nutritional uniqueness. Notice what's missing. Everyone always asks me, why are you against whole grains? I'm not against whole grains at all, but there's nothing nutritionally unique in whole grains that you can't get in the other 6 categories. So it's great for culinary diversity and satiety, and they're delicious. Who doesn't love some quinoa or some brown rice or whatever? So many delicious whole grains, oatmeal, but they're definitely just not unique and they don't need to be in part of the diet, but they're very healthy. And the abundance of evidence that whole grains are healthy, they're just not nutritionally anything in there that you can't get in the other 6 groups.
Fantastic. And to Dhruvi, to that, your question, we could go into even more depth in module 7. So make sure to watch that one. And then you have a chart people can download on your website somewhere, you said?
Yep. Go to plantbaseddietitian.com and then type in 6 daily threes. It's right there.
Oh, fantastic. In the search bar. Cool. That's awesome. Yeah. Thank you for that. All right. Let's see. Let me go to another question here that came in. Remy, see, this was submitted on the website. Between omega-3 supplement in capsule or fresh liquid fish oil in a bottle from a reputable company, given they are both of high quality products, which would you recommend and why?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I mean, I do recommend a microalgae supplement, you know, one that has both DHA and EPA. When I first started this, like 20 years ago, there was nothing on the market. And now there's so many things on the market. And if you just on Amazon, I always find there's one that I really like that's just got EPA and DHA. So just make sure it has both. You know, you could do fish oil, but like every time I've heard about it being tested off the shelves, randomly sampled, and there's pollutants, even if it says it's highly filtered and all that. And unfortunately, our oceans are a dumping ground and there's so many pollutants in there. So, you know, that's a reason to opt for maybe the microalgae, but either way, it's good to have that. If you're not including those foods in your diet, if you're eating fish, you don't need to include a microalgae omega-3. And I also suggest getting some omega-3s from the ALA form, the original form that elongates into the other forms. And that's from the walnuts, chia seeds, hemp seeds, flax seeds. Those are the best sources, and soy. Soy foods have it as well, but making sure you're getting all of that, because we need all the different forms of omega-3 fatty acids for different functions in the body.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, fish oil is, you know, there's so much mercury in fish nowadays that it is, which is very sad. I mean, it's getting spread through the waterways outrageously, and these heavy metals are just destroying the waters and the fish in the waters, the animals in the waters, and causing all kinds of issues. And so one is, you know, from an ethical standpoint, if you don't eat animal products or fish or animals, you know, that's one thing. From a health standpoint, the study showing fish oil is healthy for you because of the omegas. Well, you know, you're risking taking in those heavy metals into your body versus these very clean algae sources, which don't interact with heavy metals. You can avoid that potential risk by taking algae oils that have healthy levels of omegas that don't run the risk of taking mercury into your body and causing chronic inflammation and potential cancer and neurodegenerative disease.
Yeah, and there's DDT and dioxin and PCBs, and now there's
microplastics,
all sorts of goodness.
Unfortunately, I just got back from Costa Rica. I was visiting a sustainable healing retreat center down there. And, it's such a different culture to be in a place like that where people are living. You know, Costa Rica, for those who don't know, is considered one of, if not the most sustainability conscious countries in the world. They have 0.03%, I believe, of land mass in the whole world, but they have over 5% of the world's biodiversity in that little tiny country. They care very much about the planet and the animals and the land. So they take very good care of it for the most part. And people grow a lot of their own food there. People live much closer to the earth there. And in general, people are happier there, which is so awesome to see. You know, people greet you with the phrase there, pura vida, pure life. Like, you know, it's just this concept of like, yeah, let's live the best life that we can, healthy and happy, and support each other. I love that as part of the culture. You know, when you say thank you, you know, gracias, you're saying thank you to somebody for something. It's not like, you know, de nada, which is like, oh, for nothing, it's okay. Or here it's like, oh yeah, no problem, or you're welcome. There they say con gusto. It's like with pleasure, you know, it's like a whole other way of being and living. And part of that, I really believe, is not only just the cultural upbringing, which in Costa Rica in the Nicoya Peninsula actually lives one of the blue zones of the world, which has one of the longest living, healthiest people on the planet right there in Costa Rica. So that's another thing. And that community itself eats a lot of beans and a lot of vegetables and they eat a little bit of animal products, a little bit of fish and things like that. But a really high plant strong diet in that particular blue zone where people live 80, 90, 100 with very few or little or no diseases. And they live simple lives. They exercise, but not by going to the gym, by gardening and carrying rocks from places to place and carrying water and like helping their neighbors and building their houses. So they're moving their bodies under tension, but close to land, and eating simple whole food diets, not processed, not tons of sugar, not, you know, crap that comes in boxes and off shelves. It's mostly whole food diets, which is something to be said about that. I mean, I know this is the Supplements Explained Masterclass, but as you know, a big part of this is the foundation of getting your diet right, because without a right diet, supplements can't fix a poor diet. And that's the whole point. And so I just wanted to share that because literally I got back at like midnight last night and I'm still kind of glowing in the after, you know, effects of being in that country I love so much. And I think there's a lot we can learn from them. And a lot of what you teach, Juliana, is like going back to the foundations of a strong, healthy diet to support our life and vitality. And a lot of the clients you work with, what do you see in terms of diseases and issues being helped and even maybe reversing or getting better?
Oh my gosh, Nathan, it's been over 17 years now. And I've worked with one-on-one, I've worked with thousands of people. And then I've talked to audiences around the world for 17 years. And it never ceases to amaze me. Like I can't believe the things I've seen, because in graduate school, I was not taught that this was possible. Like this was not even a thing. We were taught to manage disease, to try to avoid it exacerbating and getting worse. And it was just trying to like control the disease, right? So we had a diabetes diet and a kidney diet and this diet. And no, because this is a one size fits all magical way of eating that I cannot even begin to tell you. I always say results are typical, because I see the same things all the time. Like this week, one client who was on 30 years of blood pressure medicines, three different ones, was off in a week, off of them in a week. I see people reducing their cholesterol, reducing their type 2 diabetes, reversing their type 2 diabetes, like it goes away. I've had people come to me who struggled their entire lives with horrible GI problems, gone. You know, sometimes that's a process. GI is a little more complicated, but it's always when you clean up the diet and you limit how often they're eating, you manipulate the actual components of the diet, Amazing. I see people's lifelong asthma go away, lifelong acne go away. That was me. Lifelong acne and sinus infections I had my entire life and horrible GI problems gone with when I went plant-based. I see so many things. And I work with people with all sorts of kind of illnesses that come to me. They just got a diagnosis. A lot of people come to me to lose weight. And so I do a lot of weight management. And I also work with a lot of athletes. So I see improvements in performance and recovery, which is everything when it comes to being an athlete. So I can't believe I can't still get over how powerful this one way of eating is. And I know it's not one way because there's a lot of ways to do it, but just switching to whole plants as the predominant force in your diet has infinite power from what I've seen and from what the research keeps. Every day there's new research, kidney disease and autoimmune disease and even COVID and all of this. It's just extraordinary.
Beautiful. Yeah. So inspiring. Those of you who are joining us live, if you have questions for Juliana or myself, you can type them in the chat. I'm going to go to another question that came in on the website. Diane is asking, CoQ10, if you have hypothyroid, can you take CoQ10? Any thoughts?
I do not know that answer to that question. That's a good question. Don't know.
Yeah. The only research I've seen on that is actually very limited. And it did show that taking CoQ10 didn't have any kind of adverse effect on hypothyroidism or on the drug interaction with it. But there is definitely more research that needs to be done. And it's something that you should definitely consult with an integrative healthcare practitioner on that. Hypothyroidism does affect the levels of CoQ10 in your body. So, you know, it depends on what your levels are and how it's affecting that part of your hormone system so that you can, you know, if you need to take it or if you don't need to take it. So it's something I would recommend, you know, consulting with either one of the doctors who's part of this masterclass, Diane, you could reach out to either one of them or the integrative healthcare practitioner that you work with. But thank you for asking the question. Any other questions here as well? Let me see. I got to go to this other page to look at the questions. Do you have anything else you wanted to talk about for a second, Juliana, while I pull up these other questions that came in?
I mean, just about hypothyroidism in general, like it needs to be treated with medication. That's not something that can be modified by diet. It's like the one thing that doesn't necessarily get modified by diet, because once you either have decreased or taken out your thyroid, or once you're on like a synthetic thyroid, you need to stay on that. And it's once you regulate it, then you should have a similar response to everything else. But I always look up whenever I'm seeing a client, I always look up the interactions with any kind of supplements or whatever medications they're on. So it depends on what medications they're on. So that's why I don't want to answer that specifically. There's always like, you know, you have to consider all the things that you're taking in because there's going to be synergistic effects all the time that you may not know about. So it's good to just kind of like study the medication you're on and then look at the other medication and ask someone if there's polypharmacy, because that can get a little crazy too.
Thank you for that. Here's a question from Jack about keto diet. I'm a bit confused. Some people recommend the keto diet for brain health or overall health. Is the keto diet actually healthy? What do you recommend?
It's probably one of the least healthy diets that's out there right now. And of course, it depends on how you approach it, because it's become lumped into all sorts of things. Like you can have keto cookies and keto ice cream and keto, literally, it's just gotten crazy, like most diet trends. But it's effective for children with seizures, a specific seizure disorder. That's where it was developed initially. And it has efficacy for that for sure. But most people aren't in that category. And most people, the general version of that is just a very high meat diet. It's like you're just avoiding quote unquote carbs. And, you know, foods that are rich in carbs are super healthy. Like people are avoiding fruit and they're avoiding a lot of vegetables, starchy vegetables. They're avoiding things that are so healthy, legumes, whole grains, things that are super healthy, we know, and swapping it in. Remember, we've got only this amount of real estate on our plate. And so if you're eating all of these animal products, you're not getting all the plant foods. Animal products have zero of the two most health promoting nutrients, the most crucial nutrients, period, fiber and phytonutrients. There is zero in animals, zero. So And what you're getting in the animals, you're getting all the saturated fat and cholesterol and new 5GC and TMAO and all sorts of compounds that are linked to and associated with all chronic diseases. I could say all, because it's almost all, everything we know about, really all the major ones, definitely cardiovascular disease and type 2 diabetes. So you want to get meat off the plate and you want to get plants on the plate as much as possible. And if you're focusing on eliminating carbs, gosh, I saw someone today, I was at the gym and there was like there's a iced tea, right, with some fruit floating in it. And I hear these girls talking, they're like, do you think there's any carbs in here? And I'm like, it's tea, it's tea and it's fruit. But people are just so afraid of super healthy foods because of these things like keto diets. And you know what, if you've ever been on a keto diet, you know how torturous it is. Like, it's so hard to do and it's so uncomfortable and you feel miserable. And I have clients that are doing weight loss and they flirt with ketosis accidentally. Like, I help them avoid it because you don't need to be in ketosis to lose weight, and it's miserable and you're stinky and nobody wants to be around you and you're exhausted and it just feels so crummy. So if you've ever experienced it, you know what I'm talking about. And I just don't know why anyone would opt to be on that kind of eating plan, because it's definitely not healthy. There's so many better ways to eat for every other reason. And I am not a fan.
Yeah, I have there's some interesting research on the ketogenic diet for cancer, for example, brain cancer specifically. But that's I have a colleague, Dr. Thomas Lodi, who's a integrative medical doctor, and he's modified, because he also puts all of his cancer patients on a plant-based diet, a whole food plant-based diet, because that's where we see the best results with cancer. But he's kind of created like a plant-based version of ketogenic diet where to cycle on and off maybe for like a month or 2 months, if you're at a really acute stage of that cancer, that brain cancer, for example, because, you know, reducing that glucose uptake and, you know, which is the number one, you know, sugar feeds cancer. So we can, you know, limit some of the cancer growth by getting a lot of that out of the body quickly. But even then, he's like, you know, I don't want my patients on it for more than a few weeks at a time, even on a plant-based ketogenic diet. Because as you said, you're missing, even on a plant-based ketogenic diet, you're still missing out on a lot of those really healthy vegetables, which are also anti-cancerous and associated with longevity and reduced cardiovascular risk and, you know, health and healing in so many ways. So even in that case, like, he's like, yeah, I don't recommend ketogenic diet for most people, even a plant-based one. You know, why do people see results on a ketogenic diet? Why do they feel good? Why do they lose weight? Why do they claim it's the thing that's helping them and saving them? Because on a ketogenic diet, you go into ketosis and your body starts burning fat for fuel. So, and on a ketogenic diet, most of the time, and every study that's ever been done has all been about weight loss. You're burning fat for fuel, and you know that fuel, as you're burning that fat, you feel good. You have energy. You feel great. And your body, you look great because you're losing weight. And so people go, wow, this is really working. Most of the time, they're also on a calorie deficit. So you're losing weight. Anytime you go on a calorie deficit, you're going to lose weight no matter what diet you're eating, right? If you're doing a calorie deficit, almost across the board, I should say, 95% of people or more are going to lose weight in a calorie deficit over time. So people feel great and then they go, oh my God, the ketogenic diet is the savior of all. The problem with that is, as you said, when you look at long-term studies, you see that actually the longer you are on a ketogenic diet, the higher your risk goes up for all of these diseases we're talking about. And it's also not sustainable, and you're not getting all those phytonutrients and fiber that your body needs, right? So I'm just sharing a little more context here for people to go, well, yeah, I have a friend who lost 100 pounds on ketogenic diet. She's amazing. I do too. I know those people very well, and I've researched this extensively to understand why and how that works. And so if your only concern is weight loss and that's all you care about and you want to lose it quickly and you go on a ketogenic diet for that reason, that's fine. Just know that you're missing out on potentially a lot of other nutrients that your body needs to thrive. And if you stay on that diet for a long time, you will very likely be putting yourself at risk of more disease down the road. So something to think about. Diane is saying, what about bone broth made from grass-fed, pasture-raised bones as part of a plant-based diet?
Well, it's not part of a plant-based diet.
Yeah, or I mean, in a plant-based diet. Like, what, I'm in a plant-based diet, but what about using bone broth made from grass-fed, pasture-raised bones?
I don't know why. Why is she here?
Yeah, she's just chatted. Yeah.
Oh, I'm curious why she would want to do that. Was she, what is the benefit?
Because, I mean, all the people and all the research saying that bone broth is healthy.
But what is she looking for to use that for, like, specifically?
Yeah, Diane, why don't you chat in and let us know? Or if you want to unmute, you can unmute yourself and ask your question specifically. Would love to get more information from you or chat it in. Why do you want to use bone broth? What are you looking for from that? That's a great question. So let us know, Diane. So while you chat that in, we'll go to the next question, then we'll come back to it. Druvy's asking, do we have an option to ask questions about any of the modules, if any come up in future after all the live Q&As are done? The last live Q&A is in a couple of weeks with Dr. Khan, August 26th. So that will be the last chance for any of these live Q&As. So hopefully that answers that for you. Diane's hand is raised. Okay, I'm going to click ask to unmute. Make sure you click the button that unmutes yourself, Diane, then you can come in. Hello.
Hi, how you doing?
Wonderful. How are you?
Well, I was just wondering about the bone broth, because everything I read and the doctors I've been to all say bone broth. So that's why, and I'm trying to go plant-based, but I was just wondering about the bone broth.
But what are they telling you bone broth for? Like, they're saying you need bone broth because?
Your immune system, they say, and for your microbones and your gut and all of that.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't seen research that shows that bone broth does any of that. The research really supports a whole food plant-based diet doing all of that, like all of the goodness, all of the immune enhancement and all of the decreasing your risk for all those things and GI health, all of that, because you need fiber for good GI health, because basically gastrointestinal health, all health actually starts with the microbiome. It seems like we're learning so much about the microbiome. All the gut bacteria, the things that it's like 10 times us or more, we're more bacteria than we are human. And what you eat and where you travel and where you are and how you sleep and who you're around and where you live all impacts your gut. But the most effective way to get a really good, diverse microbiome is by including a good source of healthy prebiotics, and that's fiber. So you only get fiber from plants. You don't get any fiber in bone broth. And the plants have all sorts of different types of fiber. Like the beans have all sorts of different fiber. There's gums and celluloses and soluble fibers and pectins and insoluble fiber and all sorts of different things, resistant starch, that all have different impacts on the gut. And when you bring in all of those wonderful prebiotics, your gut bacteria, it brings out the healthy, it proliferates a healthy species of bacteria. And those healthy species of bacteria can get rid of, and also you're starving the pathogenic bacteria. So you're basically trying to formulate an ideal healthy microbiome, because then it's gonna be important for your immune system and your overall health, and everything seems to be mitigated by the microbiome. We're learning more and more. We're at the like tip of the iceberg of what we know about these mechanisms of action. And one of which I just saw a study today with meat and the microbiome and the TMAO production, and it increasing risk for atherosclerotic cardiovascular disease. So we don't need animal products for any reason. There's nothing beneficial that we can't get healthy, that we know of, that we can't get healthier found in plants. And the research is very, very substantial. And so I don't recommend bone broth for any specific purpose to anyone.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for your question, Diane. It's wonderful. If anybody else has any questions, you want to jump in here in the last few minutes, please let us know. In terms of bone broth, I mean, the assumption is the collagen from it is supposed to be healthy for you. The problem with that assumption is there's very few, if any, studies that actually back that up. So doctors are saying, you know, they're kind of assuming this because we know that, you know, collagen is and a really important part of the body's health. And so they say, oh, if we get collagen from animal products and from bone broth by boiling it down and from, you know, eating collagen, getting collagen from animal products, then it should be healthful for us. The problem with that, there's very few studies, if any, that actually back that up. But also there are studies that show that the body doesn't absorb collagen from animal products very well at all. And so it is much more recommended to eat the plants that have the nutrients where our body builds its own collagen naturally, right? And that's collagen synthesis is, you know, vitamin C and copper and zinc, silicone, amino acids from the plants, strawberries, kale, bell peppers, papaya, tomatoes, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, right? These are great sources of these nutrients that we know are the building blocks of collagen in the body anyway. So rather than kill an animal and eat its, which by the way, if you buy collagen protein and collagen powders and things like that, it actually comes from like the hooves and the, you know, the skulls and things like that, the bones of the animal. So like, rather than being like a dog and eating animal bones, we can just eat the plants and our body makes the collagen itself. So that's my thoughts on the topic. Grace, please repeat the website for the six daily threes. It is plant. I'll put it in the chat here for everybody. We'll also send it with the replay. Plantbaseddietitian.com, plantbaseddietitian.com. And then you can, there you can find Juliana's books, her services, her podcast. She has amazing podcasts, by the way. You can go listen to wonderful interviews there. You can contact her and her team there. And then there's a little search bar in the upper right of her website where you can search the six daily threes that she was talking about to download. You can see the charts right there on the website. So plantbaseddietitian.com. Pat, do you recommend any enzymes with a plant-based diet considering we're eating more fiber and lack cellulase?
Good question. No, I don't. I mean, some people say it helps, but really there's a, you need a little phase of getting comfortable with eating more fiber. So most people, I think it's 97% of Americans don't consume the minimum recommended fiber. And when I say minimum recommended fiber, it's 14 grams per 1,000 calories. So it's very little. And on a plant-based diet and on the traditional paleo diet, it's like you can get 50, 60, 70, 80 grams of fiber a day. So if you're going from eating no or very little fiber to eating fiber, you're going to notice it. Your body's going to go, whoa, what's going on here? But here's the beautiful thing. So you stepwise into it and you just know that what's happening, there's so much happening underneath there with the microbiome. The bad ones are going away. The good ones are proliferating. They're going to be better at absorbing that and it will get better. And so if you have something in particular, most people respond the most in terms of GI response to fiber. I'm assuming that's why you're asking. That's why people take enzymes, but, and please elaborate if that's not what you're asking, but, if you stepwise into it and your body starts to get used to it, like you'll notice that things like mostly legumes or cruciferous vegetables, and sometimes onion and garlic tend to be real big triggers for people. So either the best way to do this is to write everything down in a food and symptom journal. This is what I do with my clients too. Like we have to like assess if there's an intolerance, but it just takes getting used to. And so if you're particularly sensitive to beans and just have a little bit, but have them consistently every day, just a little bit, and your body will just acclimate. Our bodies are brilliant at acclimating to things and getting used to things, and everything about food is habit. And so you just have to get your body more comfortable with fiber and it will happen. So if you're consistent about it, your body will adjust and you will notice much far fewer symptoms and responses to high fiber foods. And you know, you're doing the best because we don't have cellulase, but right, we break down fiber in all sorts of wonderful ways with that microbiome. And that leads to all of these wonderful health promoting benefits. A lot of the benefits of eating plants is because of the fiber via the microbiome. So it's worth it.
Juliana, thank you for that. Super helpful. With your latest book, can you talk a little bit about that? What are the biggest key takeaways there that you think people can really benefit from that? And does it have some really good recipes for everybody as well? I know everybody loves recipes. I know I love learning new recipes. So,
oh, thank you for asking, Nathan. Yes. So it's called The Choose You Now Diet. And it just published in December. And it's like the first book that I've written that has like my voice. Like it's my story. It's why I got into nutrition from the first place. And it's centered on losing weight in a healthy way. Definitely 75 delicious, nutritious recipes. And I broke it down. My last book, Healthspan Solution, we had the chapters were soups, salad, sides, and sweets. And now this book, it's pots, pans, plates, and power bowls. So there's all sorts of different kind of fun recipes, all whole food and no oil, no sugar. and low sodium. So they're actually really exactly what I recommend. And in the beginning, five chapters is the plan. Here's how to lose weight for the last time. I've got this down to a science with my clients. It is so predictable. And my clients lose 0.4 to 0.8 pounds a day of body fat the entire length of their weight loss. If it's, they have to lose 5 pounds or up to 100 pounds and everything in between and more, this works. So it's, I have the 10 tenets to sustainable weight loss in here and how to do it. And then recipes to execute. So it's kind of like all in that one little book.
I love it. I love it. And that's available at plantbasedietitian.com. We're on Amazon, Barnes and Noble, everywhere else. Books are available. Yep. As well.
Yes, yes, yes. Everywhere.
Awesome. The Choose You Now Diet. I'm going to get a copy for myself right now. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
So that is it for the time, everybody. Thank you so much for your great questions. Thank you for joining us. Again, this replay will be available in your members area. And all of you who are joining us watching the replay, you can always reach out to Juliana at her website, plantbaseddietitian.com. Juliana, thanks for taking the time to do this and share all your great experience and all your great wisdom. I really appreciate it. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Nathan. And thank you all for being here. Everyone take care.
Everybody have a beautiful rest of your day, evening, wherever you are. We wish you so much health and happiness, and we will talk to you in the final session coming up in a couple of weeks. Take care.